What this Holy Spirit does for us today, part one. So there's going to be two parts to this. I was sitting there now, I thought I should have probably started with something else, but because of the false teaching about the Holy Spirit, we've been in the church sometimes reluctant to discuss what the Spirit does for us. One of the confusions, and this is what I was thinking I should have started with, is the different measures of the Spirit, or the way the Spirit was given. Jesus had the Spirit without measure. There were no limitations on the Spirit for Jesus. Then there was the apostolic measure, where the apostles laid hands on people, and laying hands on them bestowed special abilities sometimes. As with the Corinthian church, they had different spiritual gifts that they could use in the church until the church came to maturity and the Word of God came into being. The third measure is the baptismal measure, or the indwelling measure. That's what we have today, and that's what we're going to be discussing, the indwelling method. Measure. And within the church, there are two different views on this. Some people believe in the Spirit dwells in us only through the Word. And others believe, no, it dwells in us individually, and there are things it does for us. And those who believe that it only dwells in us through the Word say that the Word does everything that it says the Spirit could do. So as we go through this, I think I've mentioned before, I believe in the indwelling of the Spirit, not apart from the Word, but within the Word, and that they work together. And so one of the things that I did is, as I went through and saw what the Spirit did, I asked, can the Word do that? So are there things that the Spirit does within us that the Word cannot do? Then we have to conclude that the Spirit is dwelling within us and accomplishing those things. So if you believe in the Word, the Spirit dwells in us only through the Word, then I would suggest you do that. These scriptures that we're going to be looking at replace the Spirit with the Word and see if it makes sense to you about that. It's something that should not divide us. Just because some people feel that way, I suspect there are people who feel that way in this audience tonight and perhaps listening. And so it should not be something that divides us, whether we believe Word only or the indwelling of the Spirit. But it's important for us to look and see what the Scriptures say. I'm going to be covering a lot of Scriptures, and so I'm not going to make a lot of comments on each one. Just kind of what the Spirit does, and then move on. And so if you have any questions or anything about any of those things, I'd be glad to discuss them with you individually. We could have a sermon on every one of these scriptures and teach you for a year on what the Spirit does for us. Many today in the religious world believe the Spirit gives people the ability to work miracles. We're not talking about that. The indwelling measure does not give us the ability to work miracles. That's what the laying on of the apostle hands did, as we see in with the situation with the laying on of the apostle's hands with the sorcerer and his situation, when the soothsayer saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands. He wanted to buy that ability. And so that special gift of the Spirit, the apostolic laying on of the apostles' hands, has ceased with the death of the last apostle. And so those miraculous gifts ceased with the death of the last person that was had the apostles' hands laid on them to enable them to perform various miracles. And so that has ended. And I think I preached on that once that showed that miraculous gifts have ceased. Miracles were given in the first century to prove that those speaking were from God. John 20, 30-31. And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. These miracles that were performed were written down so that we today, who don't see those miracles, can believe because we have it recorded for us. If they were still going on today, we could just look and see them. But they are written for us so that we can know that these miracles were performed and they proved that Jesus was from God. Mark 16, 19 and 20. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. So the word was confirmed through the miracles or signs that were given. And the purpose of that was until we had the completed word to guide us. And I've got a complete lesson on that. And so there are a lot of things that we could talk about in relationship to this. Paul said miracles would cease when that which was perfect would come. 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 10. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. They'll stop, they'll cease, one translation says. And whether there are tongues, they will cease. For where there is knowledge, it will vanish away. Talking about miraculous knowledge. Obviously, knowledge in general won't pass away. But this, in the context of 1 Corinthians 12, is talking about miraculous knowledge. It will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. Paul said, we don't know everything. As apostles, they didn't know everything. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. And so whatever that part was, the perfect was going to do away with its need. That part was the miraculous gifts. And so when that which was perfect came, that which is in part would be done away. The miracles would be done away with when we had the completed word. And the word guides us today. We have the word to do that. Miraculous knowledge was partial. The completed New Testament brought complete, perfect knowledge. 1 Corinthians 13, 12. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am also known. And so Paul says they don't see everything clearly. But when they get the completed word, everything will be clear. And so we have that completed word. And everything should be clear to us as we look at the Word of God. And so we're going to be looking now at what the Bible says happens with the Spirit today, how it's working today. The gospel came by the Spirit. The apostles were, and the writers of the New Testament, were guided by the Spirit as they wrote these things. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 6, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. And so see, we see the word connected to the Spirit. And the apostles were guided in all truth. We'll say that by the Spirit. That's what the Spirit did. The gift of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2:38. This is the baptismal measure of the Spirit. When Peter said to them, repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit comes at baptism. That's a problem to those who believe in faith only, because they believe you're saved before you get the Spirit. And later we're going to see that anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. So you can't belong to Christ without the Spirit. And so if you're saved when you believe and the Spirit comes later, you can't be saved before you get the Spirit, receive the gift of the Spirit. We are renewed by the Spirit, Titus 3, 5 through 6, not by works of righteousness which we were done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. This is really in actuality a restatement of Acts 2:38, where it said, repent and be baptized, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so we see here the washing of regeneration is baptism. The renewing of the Holy Spirit is the gift of the Spirit that was poured out on us when we were baptized into Christ. The Holy Spirit is given to those who obey him. Acts 5:32, and we are his witnesses, these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit whom God has given to those who obey him. So those that say all you got to do is believe in Jesus got a problem with this, because this says the Spirit's given to those who obey him, not those who believe in him. But the Spirit is given to those who obey him. Important point. Proof that we belong to Christ, Romans 8:9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. I mentioned this earlier, that if you don't have the Spirit, you don't belong to Christ. If the Spirit comes at baptism, then you can't be saved when you just believe. It can't happen until you're baptized into Christ. The reason we put so much emphasis on baptism, because so many in the religious world reject that and don't understand it. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit, I left out witness there, with our spirit that we are God's children. Romans 8:16-17. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. And so the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. That when we are doing what is right, we're following what God says, then we have that confidence that we are right with God. We're baptized in the body of Christ by the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. And so we were baptized into one body, that's the body of Christ, the church, and so that happened at baptism as a result of the Spirit. The Spirit is our seal and guarantee. 2 Corinthians 1:2, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. We mentioned earlier that if you do not have the Spirit of Christ, you don't belong to him. So the Spirit is like a stamp, a seal that is placed on something to say that it's authentic. Had a lot of problems, but Ed Chance gave us his property. Somehow, we lost the original death certificate. I applied for more, and there was some sort of conflict, and they couldn't give them to us. And so every time I'd take one of these copies in, they'd look at it real close, and they said, there's no seal on this. I can't accept it, because it doesn't have that seal on it. The original had a seal that wouldn't show up on a copy. And so that's what the Spirit is here. It is our seal that has given to us as a guarantee that we are children of God. We are sealed and guaranteed by the Spirit. In Ephesians 1:13-14, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. And so here again, we have the gospel of your salvation. You heard it, you believed it, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit at your baptism, where you received the Spirit. And that's a guarantee of our inheritance, proof that we are children of God. Number 10, we know that we abide in him, and he in us by the Spirit he gave us. In 1 John 3:24, now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. And so we know because of his Spirit that we are doing the will of God. We're keeping his commandments because we're following the word of God. We're doing what the Bible tells us to do. And 1 John 4:13, by this we know that we abide in him and he in us because he has given of us his Spirit. Notice how many times the reference is made to the Spirit being a proof that we are children of God, that we are keeping his commandments, that we're doing what is right in his sight. So many of these are referencing that. Number 11 is a guarantee of our home in heaven. 2 Corinthians 5:4 through 8. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident because we have this guarantee, knowing that while we are at home with the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. The Spirit's given to us as a guarantee that we have that home in heaven. And so Paul says, I'm ready to go. I'd much rather depart and be with the Lord. But he said he, for the sake of the Christians, he would probably remain longer. That was God's decision. By the Spirit, we cry out, Abba, Father. Galatians 4:6, and because you are sons, God has sent forth his Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Because we have the Spirit, the proof that we are in Christ, God is our Father. Until you are in Christ, you can't say God is your Father. A lot of people claim to be Christians, and they call on Jesus. As Matthew 7:23 says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name, done many mighty works in your name. And he will say to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. And so there are many who claim to be calling out, but they're not really children of God until they have been born again through the water and the Spirit, baptized into Christ and receiving the gift of the Spirit at that point. Then they can cry out, Abba, Father. The Holy Spirit gives us comfort. Acts 9:31, then the churches throughout all of Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. And so the Spirit gives us comfort. It causes us to be satisfied with what we're doing, where we are, and that we're children of God and we're pleasing him in all that we do. The love of God is poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Romans 5:5. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. There are two different ways to look at this. The love of God, his love for us, is poured out into our hearts, and we understand that we are children of God. And the other aspect is that the love of God is in our hearts that we can go out to others and spread that love to them. And so either one of those, as a result of the Spirit, we should be spreading love. The fruit of the Spirit, first of all, is love. And so we as Christians should be spreading that love by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. The Holy Spirit delivered from the law of Moses, Romans 7:6, but now we have been delivered from the law, having died to that which we're held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. The newness of the Spirit, referring to the new covenant, as opposed to the oldness of the letter, the old covenant. The Spirit delivered us from that. We walk according to the Spirit, Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Notice this again says that those who are in Christ, the only way you can get in Christ, the only way the scriptures ever say you can get in Christ is through baptism. And then when you're baptized into Christ, you walk according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. And so the Spirit is there urging us to do what is right. Some people may call it our conscience, but that's the Spirit prodding us to do what is right. Romans 8:4, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And so when we walk according to the Spirit, then we're freed from that old law again. We're made free from the law of sin and death. Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Again, talking about freedom in Christ under the new covenant as opposed to the old covenant. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. We have life through his blood. And so it's made us free from that law of sin and death, the old covenant. We live by the Spirit and focus on spiritual things. Romans 8:5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And so the Spirit is there to help us to keep focused on the right things in our lives and focus on spiritual things rather than physical things so much. The spiritual mindedness brings life and peace, Romans 8:6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. To know that we are led by the Spirit, that we are doing what God wants us to do, then that brings life and peace to us. Peace to us here on this earth and life eternal with heaven ultimately. But it leads to a wonderful life here on this earth also. As we mentioned this morning, the best life you can live is the Christian life and to be spiritually minded. We have life because of righteousness, Romans 8:10. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And so we have life because of the Spirit. It helps us to live spiritual lives, prods us to do that. We have life through the indwelling Spirit, Romans 8:11, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. And so the Spirit dwells in us, and we have life. Ultimately, eternal life from this physical body to have spiritual lives with God forever in heaven. By the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body. Romans 8:13. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. And so by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body. It helps us to be able to overcome sin in our lives. And that's one reason sometimes people who struggle with sin and go in and out of rehab and all sorts of things to try to help them through that, ultimately the only way they're going to get rid of those addictions and problems is through God. And so it will help you to put to death the deeds of the body. And until you have the Spirit of God within you, you don't have that help, that extra help that it takes. We are led by the Spirit, and if we're led by the Spirit, that means we are sons of God. That idea has been presented before. Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. So when we're led by the Spirit, we recognize that we are children of God and that we have that home in heaven reserved for us to be led by the Spirit. By the Spirit, we can call God our Father. Romans 8:15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. And so we saw this again, but we have the spirit of adoption. And so recognizing we were adopted into the family of God, then we can call him Father. And until that happens, we're not children of God. And of course, again, that comes at the point of baptism. The Spirit intercedes for us. Romans 8:27. Now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Spirit intercedes for us. One place it talks about with words that cannot be uttered. And that basically is saying that sometimes when we want to talk to God, but we just can't find the words. Maybe we feel so overcome by our sinfulness, we don't feel worthy to talk to God, but we want to talk to God. The Spirit can intercede for us with words that we can't express. And so he intercedes for us. Produces peace, not pace, but peace. May produce pace too. Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not in eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And so the Spirit produces peace and joy in our lives. And again, to know that we're doing what's right in the sight of God, even though we may be suffering as Paul did, we still have that feeling of peace and joy, because we know we have a home prepared for us in heaven. And what happens to us during this short period of time, relation to eternal life, it's just a minor part of time. And there is no time in eternity. And so what we're living here is such a short period of time. We are to abound in hope by the Spirit. In Romans 15:13, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so the power of the Holy Spirit brings hope into our lives. As we looked at these scriptures, one of the things that I failed to point out at the start, I probably should have, if God meant that the Word did these things, why would he not use that term? Why would he use Spirit rather than Word and confuse us by what it does? He knew the word for Word, obviously, and he knows the word for Spirit. Why did he choose to use Spirit if these are all done by the Word to confuse us? So we need to ask the question, have you been baptized into Christ for remission of your sins to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit? That's where it all starts. That's where you become a Christian. You're born into the family of God. And you start living for him since he died for you. If so, if you've been baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, are you allowing the Spirit to direct you to obedience to the Word of God? If you have the Spirit of God, if you're led by the Spirit, you're going to be obeying the Word. And that's the reason I say you don't separate the two. You can't separate the Word and the Spirit in that sense. Because if you are led by the Spirit, you're going to be following the Word of God. Do you need to do something to get your life right with God? And if you do, we'd love to help you tonight. If you have any need at this time, we invite you to come as we stand together and sing.